Standing, if you'd like to read along in your scriptures, remember that we're still on the fifth seal, and this will be message number six, but just save time of reading. We've read the fifth seal scripture of the souls under the altar, crying how long and all like that, but we'll just read a scripture from Galatians because there's a point I want us to get from this. Galatians, the third chapter, we'll read from verse 13 through 16, but just remember now, it'll be on the fifth seal, it'll be message number six, if you want to keep up with the amounts of them. Just read these scriptures that we give, because what I'm trying to do, you know, I'm just trying to speak as I'm led to do on something. Reading, I just put it fifth seal where you'll just keep up with where we're at for the time of what's being said and all. But just remember that these things we're trying to speak on what God has given us in the day and hour that we're living. It's good to see each one of you out. Just pray for us as we try to speak on this tonight. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now notice how we get the blessings now. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, in other words, not to the natural children of Abraham. Now, think what the scripture's saying, because we'll get back to it in a minute. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, see, seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word. We pray now that you'd give us understanding, because that's what we desire from thee, is revelation of thy word. Help us to see where that we are and where that the word in this hour is being made manifest unto each one. Guide us now. Forgive our sins. Bless those present and bless those not present. The names that were called, Lord, of the sick, we pray that you would just be with each one. We thank you for the healing atonement that goes with believing thy word, that we can ask for these that are sick. How great it is to have a loving Savior that would care for people, that would not just turn them loose to the wiles of the devil and allow things that seemingly sometimes hard for us to understand, why we're sick and why our loved ones are sick. But yet, Lord, if we can just see it and believe thy word and accept what you've done for us, then in that, Father, we can see your eternal thoughts made manifest. Forgive our sins. Bless us with your presence. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you out tonight for the services. I hope you enjoyed the message this morning. I enjoyed Brother Richard being down, fellowshipping with us, Brother Woodby last weekend. And if you'll think about what's being said, we're all ministers of the gospel, and and all like that. We're not, none of us are nothing, because that's just the truth of what it is. God can't use something. He can use a nothing. As long as we think we're nothing, then everything's all right. When we get to thinking we're something, then he can't use us anyway. But different ministers saying things in a different light of scriptures, or a different way of approaching a point, you know, bringing it to the same place. And I hope that's what you're seeing with Brother Richard and Brother Woodby, and what they were speaking on. And the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, Brother Woodby, still remember to pray for Brother Woodby's daughter. He called this afternoon, and they're going to operate, the Lord willing, in the morning down in North Carolina. There, they're going to operate on Linda. So remember to pray for her, that the Lord would be with her during the operation. She's had a rough time. She's spent sometimes as much as 40 and 50 days in the hospital, you know, not being able to get out or anything, and maybe 60 or 70 days there sometimes, because she's been in and out of the hospital for about as long as I've known of her, just or known her. She's had trouble. And just pray for her, because as far as spiritually speaking, I don't reckon she's a Christian, or don't claim to be one or anything. And her husband goes to as far as I know, his family background is Church of Christ, and they don't believe in any things like miracles or anything like that happening, you know. They're just kind of like a Pharisee, just let it go, and whatever will be. But just remember to pray for her, and then the Lord willing, we're going to try to go up Wednesday and speak there Wednesday and Thursday night for her. And when I speak there, I speak on things that I've spoken here, or maybe sometimes I'll speak of something, you know, that I hadn't got around to here. But the reason I'm saying that is they came down and spoke for us, and you should have been able to follow them through what we've been speaking on, and trying to show the same thing, to see God among us. God living right here among us, not that he was just yesterday in Brother Branham's message and we had a wonderful time when we sat there and saw it. Or he will be on out yonder later, you know, and God's really going to be working one of these days. But that God is wanting to live right here among us. I could read the same scripture that Brother Richard read this morning and preach my message from it tonight. It's just I read a scripture, they'll read a scripture and preach a message from it. I just read a scripture and try to preach a message from it. But we're all trying to say the same thing, that God is wanting to live among his people. And he's wanting the people to realize that he's here, because he can't do anything for us. Unless we realize God's among us, then God can't help us. If we put God off up somewhere else, as Brother Richard said this morning, then we can't never, God would be impersonal. He wouldn't be here, and he couldn't help us, could he? See, we all of our life, we've been taught that God is off somewhere else, and we just strive to do the best we can, and we pray and seek the Lord, you know, and try to get him to come down and be with us. Well, the scripture don't teach that. Scripture teaches that he's here with us. The Bible said, I'll be with you and in you unto the end of the world. That's what Jesus said. But see, when I go there, I'm going there to speak on something I've already spoken here to you, because it's like he said today, he said, it's a timely time for you to come up here and speak to our people, you know, to my people here, on what the Lord's showing you there, because that'll help them to understand what they're having, what they're trying to say, you know. Well, that was the reason that I got Brother Woodby and Brother Richard to come here and speak, was to get you to see that the Lord does deal with someone else. And I believe that. I wish I could get in contact with a bunch of the ministers. I don't mean these fly-by-night deals of all kind of doctrines and things that's going on around the message. I mean, get in touch with some good, honest-hearted brethren across the country and just talk with them some, because if the Lord's showing something here, he's showing it somewhere else. The Lord don't just deal with just one little bitty handful of people here. There's other ministries all across the world that the Lord's dealing with. And my main point to you is, for the longest, has been to try to get you to see from Brother Brown's message, from the scriptures and things that we bring out, that God is wanting to live right here among us. We don't preach a God of yesterday that, boy, Abraham, you know, you've heard it back in through the Baptists and all that we was. Boy, the Lord was there with Abraham, and he was a great man, and all the things that happened there. Oh, don't you remember the great little lad David, that the Lord was with him one day, and oh, he took his sling and killed a great giant. But we just can't have hardly faith today to live and to exist. And those statements are made by people of this message. You'd be surprised how many of them will quote Brother Branham and say, we hardly have faith for divine healing, let alone for a rapture. Said we just can't get by, seemingly. Well, I don't believe in that. I believe if God ever existed, now think, if God ever existed, if there ever was a God anywhere, then that God still has to be alive today. Because if he created me and I'm still alive, if he created the man upon the earth and they're alive, then God didn't create it and go off somewhere up into the heavens beyond Venus or Mars or Jupiter or some planet and sit down up there and say, well, y'all just go ahead and fight it out down there among yourselves, and one of these days I'll get tired of the whole mess and I'll just wipe it off. Brother Branham said that God, back there in the Old Testament, under the fatherhood, we believe in a God not in three persons, but three manifestations of the same God. The great Jehovah God that was with the children of Israel, that same God that was there as a recorder of all, Brother Branham said he just busied himself like a father. Read your Old Testament, how that the Lord guided them down through the wilderness and all of the things that they done. Read how the Lord guided Moses and the pillar of fire when it would move. Moses would move with that. See, then knowing that that same pillar of fire was one day a man called the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the shores of Galilee, there where, or Jordan, where that John had baptized him, and he came up out of the water, that same pillar of fire that was back there came down from heaven in the form of a dove, the scripture said. Well, see, it wasn't like a dove. It didn't mean there was a dove come down and lit on it, but in the form of a dove. If we'd have seen it, it might have just been something like Brother Branham over there with the picture of the halo above his head. It might have been a type of something like that. It might have just been a glow coming out of the sky. The scripture described it the best that it looked like. It said in the form of a dove as it came down. That same pillar of fire that was back there in the wilderness was right there then to proclaim, this is my beloved Son. In other words, this is a human flesh. That's what Jesus was. This is a human flesh that I have created through the wound of a virgin, and I've come down now to live in this flesh. It wasn't that he wasn't already there, because Jesus was born Lord the Christ. But see, it was something God was doing to make it personal. And he was right there with them in what we call the sonship. See, then that same pillar of fire, just after the death of Jesus Christ, here goes Paul down on the road to Damascus, going out to kill people. And Jesus said what? I come from God. Now watch, I come from God, I go back to God. Well, you see him there all at once coming down on the road to Damascus to Paul as a pillar of fire. What? He had come from the pillar of fire, hadn't he? You know, the Old Testament. And the Bible said that Jesus spoke to Moses from the burning bush. See, now, for Jesus to speak to Moses from the burning bush, he had to be that one seed singular that you can follow throughout the Bible. And he looked what the scripture says. Now to Abraham and his seed, S-E-E-D, it's not an S on the end of it now, to Abraham and his seed, not his children. His natural seed, Isaac, is where the promise fell to, you know, and it came down through there. But it's not in his seed, singular, that way. Not his fleshly thing. There's something about Abraham that is in his spiritual seed. It was the faith of Abraham, as I'll read to you at a while. All right, now what was that seed? He saith not and to seeds, plural, see, not to his children, because Abraham had, there was Isaac and Then he had an Ishmael and went on and fathered many more children. And over in Egypt right now, in Israel there, you've got two groups of people sitting right there today that come from Ishmael and come from Isaac, and both groups of people sitting there saying, our father Abraham. Them Arabs come right down from Ishmael, and they're saying, my father Abraham. The Jew, he says, my father Abraham. The Jew says, we got the promise. We're the ones in the promise. Well, they are in the natural genealogy. But the Arab, he could say, I've got the promise too, because I'm Abraham's children. Well, see, he's not talking to them seeds. Watch what he's talking to in our scripture now. As of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, Jesus was the faith seed of Abraham. But I want us to go back now with that in our mind, that what we're looking at, let's go back and just review our previous message. And if you have a chance, when we get through with the tapes, Brother Colley has them, or are going to pick them up and make off a copy of the cassettes off of them. We'll try to get some. If you get a chance, listen to the minister's meeting tape. Where did I speak in here at the minister's meeting? Because I went a little more into detail there on things that I hadn't said throughout the message of speaking to you. And it might help you to listen to them, to just sit down there and listen. And that's what I want to go there and speak to Brother Woodby and them. See, it's just tell them about the Lord and what he's dealing with me here and with us here, not just me, but with you also as a church. And then in a minute, you'll see why I say it that way. You remember I read the scripture the other day, you are our written epistle, known and read of all men. Wait till we get to that point now. But let's just back up and just review a little of what we've been looking at now. We saw through our last few messages that we can't add to the Word. You remember we read a scripture there how that says, you are our written epistle, known and read of all men. All right. We found that we can't be an addition to the Word. If we add to the Word, God will add it to the plagues that are written in the book. So we can't be an addition to it. If we're an addition to it, we get the plagues. But we can't be an addition to the Word. So in our understanding, what did we see? We took a couple of sermons there on it to try to see something from it. That in the writing of the Bible, we went through the Old Testament to show in the writing of the Bible that as God used man, and I hope you was understanding what I was saying there, it was a very important point that God wanted man to understand himself. He wanted man to, this Bible is to put God in letter form where that we could understand him. But when he put it in letter form, he talked about Moses and David and Joshua and Caleb following after Joshua and all of the things. And they seemed to talk more about their own lives than they did about the God that was trying to explain himself. But that was God's way of getting it to us. That's the only way he could bring it down in language enough that we could understand what he was saying. But in that writing of the Old Testament, we saw as that how that God, when he brought that word and spoke it sometime in advance, and like Moses writing after Abraham and them were done, died, and gone on. But what did we see that Old Testament was? As God wrote the word, it was made alive by somebody. Somebody lived it. See, there was a David there that the Bible records that he was there. And this Bible, listen now, this Bible is so much a historical point, so straight in its bringing out the points that natural scientific man or historians of man have to agree that these men existed because they can find the records back there. So much that even they argued, you know, that Pharaoh, the certain Pharaoh that was on the throne when Jesus was came there to be crucified, you know, they claimed that that certain Caiaphas or which one it was or the Pharaoh, they argued for a long time that that man wasn't even there at that time of that it was proclaimed. You know, atheistic ways of trying to tear the Bible down. But they kept searching and they found a marker that he was there at the exact time he was supposed to have been there. Something about the birth of Jesus Christ, that he was the man that was there. And then they searched that back and found out that he went over to Jerusalem and stayed for 3 or 4 years and then went back somewhere else and then came back as to be the complete man in charge. He just kind of went there on a little journey ahead of time. Well, see, modern science, this Bible's so perfect, modern man has to agree with it. They have to agree that there was a flood. The scientific world agrees that there was a flood. Well, see, in my point, I hope you caught what I was saying about it, that as that Old Testament was written and all, it was written about people that were alive. And they were the alive word for their hour. They were God's children for the hour. As the children of Israel journeyed down through the wilderness and a different thing, they were God's people for the time. Then we come over to the New Testament, pick that up the same way. You remember in our studies of how the New Testament, it said, "Silver." Peter and them would stand there and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." They wrote about God and what He was doing in their lives. Because that's all you can do. You can only tell about God in your life. You can't tell about Him in my life. See, you don't know tonight whether I'm born again or not. You can judge it on whether or not I preach the Word correctly, but that's the only way you can do it. I can't say that you're born again. You have to tell me that you're born again. I can't tell you. See, because it's something personal to you that God speaks to you. It has to be something in you. That way you're sure of your own self then. But as that New Testament was written, you can just see the Word as it was lived right out, and they were writing, pinning behind them what they were doing as it come all the way down through there. Then we looked at the ages and saw the ages written in Revelations 2 and 3 that they were a prophecy. You remember John A.D. 95 and 96 on the Isle of Patmos? That was just a prophecy. That Word hadn't been made alive. It was written into the Bible. I saw that just as plain back there a while ago. I wish I could put it in words. That Brother Branham said those seals, and they asked him specifically about the seventh seal, you know, about it being not written. He said it's something that was in the Bible that we had missed. Something that we'd missed that was in the Bible. He said it's got to be in the Bible because you can't add to it or take away. And I could see that through what I'm talking about right here tonight. I could see that just as plain just a few minutes ago back there, how that there was prophecies down through there. There were things throughout the Bible. Moses, there in his writing, wrote six seals. And in final analysis of what he brought forth under those six seals, what did he say? The same thing Brother Richard read this morning in Deuteronomy 30. As Brother Woodby brought out the other day, Deuteronomy 29, is wanting to do this and that and other thing. Then in Deuteronomy 30, Moses spoke and said, God's not off up in heaven somewhere that one should go there. See, then that's the very scripture that Paul picked up in Romans there. That when Brother Branham was preaching on the seals and coming to that place and coming up to that spot, that God brought his attention right to that scripture when he saw the vision of the angels and things and come out of it. See, the very scripture that the Word is nigh thee and how you'd stumble over the stumbling stone, he wrote Romans 9, Romans 10 picks it right up just like Moses did in Deuteronomy 30. Saying God's not over the sea somewhere. Well, see, I could see that right straight through the Bible, how that those seals was right there in that Bible as prophecies of what would be, but had never been made alive yet. You remember how we was bringing it out the other day? The Bible talks about a change in a moment, twinkling of an eye. That's not made manifest yet, is it? But yet it's written in this Bible. Now somebody will have to make that alive. There's things in this Bible that's not alive yet. It's what we talk about already been lived. It's something that will be in the future. There hasn't been a tribulation. There hasn't been the 144,000 to be brought in that period of time. Well, then that's a prophecy. That's something the Word has contained in it that's not fulfilled yet. All right, the seals are the same thing. They're right there in the Bible, written where that man could not catch it. Let me give you a point this way for an illustration. Just on that thought, to you that can understand what I'm saying, think about it a minute. Those seals and things, especially that seventh that's the unwritten to talk about it, it's got to be right there in the Bible, but something that's missed by man. Now, I want to ask you a question. When Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Thou art the Christ." When Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus turned back and said, "Upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Catholic Church took that scripture and said Jesus gave Peter that keys and built his church on Peter. And Peter, then, they made him the first pope in succession coming down from Jesus. You know that from the studies of the Catholic, if you want to go back to it. All right? Everything that's ever been a little spiritual understanding about it, the Catholics put their hand into it, and they explode that thing to all kind of things, like the Virgin Mary being the incubator that carried the seed and brought it forth into the world. But yet they explode that thing or build it so high till when it comes out, what it come out? Mary, the mother of God. And then they pray to Mary because, see, she's the mother of God, and any mother ought to have a little sway power with her son, you know. She ought to be able to get what she wants to, so she prays. But out of all everything in the Bible that you know yourself, they say over in Israel, the reason that a lot of people don't like to go over there, that everything they see, and I've never been there, but I take the word, but they say everything they see there, the Catholic Church has got a hand in it, you know. They've got something in the makings. And every time some little event happens somewhere, they claim to see the Virgin Mary in a certain church, certain temple, and everybody just flocks to that. But now I want to ask you a question. Why hasn't the Catholic Church ever built a shrine on the rock that where Jacob saw the ladder that went up into heaven? And you'll see the seals right there in that scripture then. Because the seventh seal, the foundation for the seventh seal, is Jacob being changed to Israel. Now you remember that in the seal book? Why didn't the Catholic Church monopolize on that scripture and that specific place and build a shrine? It was so well hidden in the scriptures till they just passed right over it. They never saw what God was trying to say through Jacob. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe to some of you younger ones, you don't catch what I'm saying on that point. But in that, you can see those seals right there in the Bible, so well hidden, till man would go right over the top of it and never catch that from that. And see, to show that, I told you the Catholic Church monopolized on everything in the world that's religious in any way. They've monopolized on, but that's one thing they never have monopolized on. And that right there is the thing that Brother Branham used to show the foundation for the seventh seal. He said, "This is all we've got to go on," was Jacob and his name being changed to Israel. Then the seals can be hidden right here in this Bible. That seventh seal is hidden right in the pages of this Bible, and it's a prophecy. And the man would look at it and never see it. Because it's what the Bible has contained in it in the revelation. Now just think about it. Go home and think on what I just said right there. If you hear, listen to the tape, you that hear the tapes, think on what I just said. Because there are certain things that was in the Bible that was prophecies. We saw the Old Testament lived, see, made alive. Somebody lived that word. The New Testament made alive. Somebody lived that word. Then I asked you, I said, where are we at in the Bible? You know, where's the scriptures for us? And then we went through how that if it's a prophecy, if there's prophecy you can find in that Bible, then somewhere it will have to become the alive word because it's part of the word. It's part of the Bible. It'll have to be made alive by somebody. And somebody will catch it there, and that scripture says we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Somebody will catch that, and they'll be changed. Then that scripture will be made alive. Then shall be brought to pass, Paul says in his writings there, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death, where is thy sting, and grave, where is thy victory? When? When man shall put on incorruption. See, until then it's prophecy. All right, as John saw the ages, they were just prophecy. But when we saw the seals open, we saw it no longer as prophecy. Nobody down through the ages understood what was going on. Nobody down through the ages of time understood what was happening. I'm talking about in the church ages coming down. They were just trying their best to survive. Nobody in the Old Testament knew what was happening when they was doing those things. They just lived their lives out, the Bible says, for our examples. They just lived their lives out. They just were what they were. All right, then would God in all of that expect us to be some kind of a, we think we're supposed to be a great supernatural thing, you know, just standing here that this everything, this anything get in the way, just get out of my way. I'm a bride of Christ. God led a church under the dark ages. Now you think about it. I was thinking on this morning. God allowed a church to go into the ground. God is so great that He could have stood right here with His church and He could have ended it right there and slaughtered every one of them. God is so great among His people till back in those dark ages there was a man that was challenging the heathen that were around him that were building altars and things to their gods. And it's recorded back there in the history that we have. In the Fox's Book of Martyrs or the people that wrote about that this man went out and challenged those devil worshipers. And there was a tree there, as the Bible or as the old saying is, as a tree leans, so shall it fall. You know, you don't go cut a tree that's leaning like that on the side of a hill. You don't go notch it and try to make it fall uphill. It just won't go that way, will it? You that have cut trees, it's going to go the way that it's leaning. If it's standing up straight, you might can notch it and make it fall the way you want it to. But it don't make no difference. If it's leaning, it's going downhill unless you pull it with some force. And this man challenged them on what they were doing, and he said, to show that God is here, said, tie me to the bottom side of the tree and cut it down. Now you think God couldn't have put an end to all of the dying through the dark ages that we've heard about? He could have been right there and put the end to it, but He allowed it to happen. When they cut that tree down, the man was tied on the leaning side of the tree, in other words, on the bottom side of it. And you know what happened? The tree, contrary to nature, fell uphill and killed the people that had tied him to the tree. A God that could say, Joshua, walk straight through that water and I'll open it up for you. And you'll go over there and destroy them people that's in round Jordan there and Jericho and just walk right in and slaughter a whole nation. That same God allowed things to happen. So is He here in the end time. So is He here in our day. Allowing it to happen. Then we think we're supposed to be supernatural things walking around. Boy, the bride, if you're the bride, man said, you're what? But Lord ain't backing you up none. I said, I think He is. Some personal things I could say there that I think he is. To see him save my children, that's backing me up. To see him save your children, that's backing up the word. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else. That settles it. Let them say what they want to say. God has allowed this thing to just keep going down. I don't know how low he'll allow it to go before he brings the church, pulls her out of it. I don't know. It's none of my business. None of my worries. The thing about it is to get in what we're talking about here. But listen, when the seals we talk about, when they're breaking our showing us the other day, they reveal the ages and how they'd come down. How that those ages had come down through there. And they'd been seven church ages. The seals reveal that. And on page 10 of the Feast of the Trumpets, write that down and read it when you get home. Page 10 of the Feast of the Trumpets, I forgot to bring it, but Brother Branham said there was a word for those ages to live and make alive, in other words. I might not have the exact word, but read it. He said there was a word for those ages to be made alive. He said the seals opened to reveal that. The seals opened to reveal that there was a live word. The seals, the church ages had been spoken. They were in the Bible, but we saw them as the alive word that was living here among us. Just as the Old Testament was the alive word. Just as the New Testament was the alive word. We saw it no longer as a prophecy. But up to where that we're living right now, the word has been made alive. That's what I said this morning. I asked to the ministers, I believe it was the other night, I said, what if God had to take you and preach you to Israel? And there's all sitting there, they didn't understand what I was saying, and I didn't approach it no more. Didn't say no more about it because I saw it throwed the wrong way. They was all saying, oh, Lord, you know, how our lives are and where our lives are. I wasn't talking about that. I can take you, Brother Darty, and preach you to Israel over there, and they can, if God would take their eyes and open them, they can see God. I wasn't talking about your faults and failures and your troubles and heartaches and your life that you was living and that. I'm talking about the revelation that you've got in your heart about God. Well, then I can take any of you to Israel, any born-again Christian in here tonight, I can take you to Israel, and it don't matter what your life is. I'm not talking about how you've done wrong and you used to drink, you used to smoke, you used to run around, you used to do this, you used to do that, and you mentioned preaching your life to Israel, and that's where their mind goes. I'm not even talking about that. My mind was above that. My mind was in the heavenlies. I told them they'd have to think in the heavenlies when I was talking. I can take you and preach you to Israel, and they can see God in you. That's the only way they'll ever see God. Is preaching you, your life to them. Those two witnesses will take the life the bride of Christ had in her, the word she had, the revelation she had of the word, and they'll go right to Israel and preach about what has happened here in this day. That's the only way Israel will ever see God. They can't read this Bible now and see God. How could they read it then and see God? That's why the people are not catching what God is. They're not seeing God. They're seeing the letters on this pages. They're not seeing what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that the letter of this pages is made alive in the hearts of the people. That this Bible was just there's a history book. This Bible is a history book. You can read about the histories of the people. But let me ask you this way. You can find a lot of men's names written in this Bible. There's a Pharaoh, there's a Judas, there's a Cain. There's all kind of men in there that done dirty, murderous things. Are they part of this Bible? They're part of the letter that's here. But they're not part of God, are they? Then there's a difference in the letter that we read and the revelation that's in our heart. The letter we read brings a revelation to our heart. Sure, this Bible is God in letter form. That's what we'll get to in just a second to see it. Surely that's what it is. It is the seed singular, Christ, that has always been down through the Bible and come through. But yet it's got to be alive in the hearts of the people. And then, now, think, women, see if what I said is right. I said, I can take your life and preach you to Israel. And they can see God. You believe I can prove it from the Scriptures? You believe I can prove that from the Scriptures to what it's actually saying? That I can take you and show you to Israel. If I was one of those two witnesses, I can preach you to Israel and show God through your life. I'm talking about a Christian now, a person that's born again. I can take your life and show God to Israel from your life. You want me to show it to you in the Scriptures? Look back. This is what the Scripture we read the other week. Because that's why I wanted you to listen to the minister's meeting. I said there's more things said there than there was here because I caught a lot more things. Let's read the Scripture we read the other week on 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Let's just read that Scripture on 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where we read the other day that we are, that you are our written epistle. And just see what that Scripture is actually saying. Verse 2. Look at it now and follow along your Scriptures or read it when you get home. Think about it. Ye are our written, ye are our epistle. Now who's talking? The Apostle Paul's talking now. Now he's talking to the people. And he says, you people are my written epistle, or epistle written. Now think about what he's saying. He's not saying that you're just a letter of the word that I'm reading, because the Bible said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So you know, watch what he's saying. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts. He's simply saying, you are my epistle that's written in my heart. Or, you are alive what's in my heart alive. You understand? You see what the Scriptures say? You are alive what's in my heart that's alive. Now watch the rest of it. Known and read of all men. Now wait till I get that part of it there. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, not of Paul. He says, you're what's in my heart made manifest. And others can read you and know I'm involved. But said, you are what? Whose epistle are you? Declared to be the epistle of Christ, watch. Ministered by us, written not with ink. Now you're to have it. There wasn't no writing there. But with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone are words written. Pages, words, see. Scrolls or any kind of writing. But in fleshly tables of the heart. Now let's personalize that and you'll see how that I could preach you to Israel. Let me paraphrase that Scripture for 1983, this night. You, I'm talking about you now, that's out there. You that come to this church, and claim this church is your place, your home church. I'm not talking about the world or anybody else now. I'm talking to you, and you'll see how serious it is now. You are my epistle. Known and read of all men. In other words, you are what I preach. Living in your life is what I preach. That's what Paul's saying, ain't it? Is that what he's saying? He said, ye are our epistle written in our hearts. In other words, you are exactly what's in my heart. Not with ink. See, you're not written that way. Not in tables of stone. You're not written that way. But what? But in the fleshly tables of the heart, what now? By the Spirit of the living God. In other words, what Paul was saying was, people can look at my congregation. Say he was talking to a congregation this big tonight. He's saying, people, God, these outsiders can look at you and see what I'm preaching. You are the alive word that I've preached to you, and you now are out there in the world, and you show the world what I'm preaching. Now, personalize it. 1983, tonight. And you'll see then, one of these days when I get to the seventh seal and read where Brother Branham said, you'll see why I've done what I've done and said what I've done all these years at the tabernacle. One of these days you'll see here at Lula, Georgia, why I've said what I've said and done what I've done all these years. You'll see it. Because you, Brother Daugherty, when you go out there to that world, Ruth, Sister Birds, Brother Birds, Joyce, Danny, Terrence, Lisa, children, Peggy, Brother Collie, and anybody else that hears these tapes that believes what I'm talking about. You tell the world what I preach. Known of all of these people around here, and now I say to you, you're what I preach. And what the people see in your life each day as they live with you at work and all the other things, then you're telling them what I preach. You are my epistle. Take that home and think on it and see if it don't fit. Because what I'm going to show, see now, let's just look at something. Because let's just look at what the scripture we read, and you'll see it. You'll see why I made it that personal. We saw the Old Testament as the alive word. Moses could say to those people, you are the alive word that I have in my heart. He tried to get them to see that it was in his heart. He tried to get them to see that it was in their heart. Paul could say, you're the written epistle. You're the New Testament. All of the writing of the New Testament showed God living in the people. Now, we saw through the seals opening that the church ages as they came down was the alive word. And Luther could say, you are my written epistle as you live in your life each day upon this earth. You proclaim what I believe in my heart. That's why I'm glad. Listen, I'm not boastful. I'm not in this maybe way that people think I am. But I'm glad to be associated with a group of people that they just don't come up to Lula and just try to pack anything down their throats. They don't go up to Brother Collie and just try to pack anything down his throat. He'll say, wait a minute, what do you mean? See? All right, then, as we saw it come down through the Bible, of their Old Testament, New Testament, and down through the ages, we were watching it unfold itself through the breaking of the seals. Watching that mystery unfold itself. See, then one seal will tie the entire Bible together. Every scripture in the Bible will fit with one seal. They don't take seven, it's one. Because there's only one seal, and that's the Holy Spirit. But now let's just watch something else now. Watch the scripture we read tonight. Let's just read it again now. Galatians 3. Let's just read it and see what we're looking at. Watch the scripture now. And watch it come alive as what we've been talking about. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Verse 14 there. And that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, in other words, it made with a man, God made it with Abraham, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. See, a lot of people in the Bible. That's not part of the word, is it right? Pharaohs, Jacob, Judas, Cain, Dathan, Korah, Jannes, Jambres, Caiaphas, high priest. That's just part of the history. That's just showing you the historical point so you can see where the real truth was at. But he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, we followed the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the church ages through the opening of the seals. Now, watch through the opening of the seals. What I'm talking about is the seed singular, because all the way through the Old Testament, in them living their lives, what were they living? What were they? I'm talking about the real true now. There's names there that are just names, like Pharaoh and everyone. I'm talking about the real genuine believer in the Bible. The Abraham, the Moses, the David, the Jacob, the Joshua, the Isaiah, the Jeremiah, all of the great writers of the Bible. They were that seed singular. They were the faith seed of Abraham. I'll read it right out of the books in a minute, but I'm just preaching on it where you can sit, and then we'll read it, and you'll see that's what the prophet told us. The believers in the Bible is the faith seed of Abraham. It was not the natural genealogy of Abraham. It was not Isaac that the seed was there by promise. That was the natural genealogy of promise, but the spiritual gene, the Word, the Bible, the believers in this Bible is the Word that's in this Bible. Joshua is the Word that was in this Bible. He's alive. He's the Word of that day made alive. He is that seed singular, Christ there. The great Noah and the flood. Even in that and what he typed and all, still he was part of that seed. Enoch and the rapture, he was part of that seed. So much that God took him that he was not, that he walked with God. And God just took him off the earth. He was so great in that. And believed who he was. But those believers in the Bible, Joshua had to believe he was part of that seed, didn't he? He was that seed, singular. The Word. Was David part of the Word? We know he was. He's here in it. Was Joshua part of the Word? Pharaoh wasn't part of it, because that's just the historical side of it. That's just showing the kings that are back there that are the false ones and the things, you know, that comes down that kill the Israelites and all. That's just showing something that goes on during the time. If you was writing today, you'd just write how the United States government existed during the time of 1983, and here was a little church at Lula, Georgia. But you'd have to write that out there to let the people know where you're talking about. That's why it's a historical side. But David's not historical. He might be historical because he's written in this book and done lived out his life. You call it history that way. But David was part of that seed. He was that seed that was throughout the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was that seed. No wonder he could speak to Moses from the burning bush. No wonder the Bible called him the angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel down through the wilderness. No wonder Jesus could stand there and they said, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, we're the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, if you'd have known Abraham, you'd have known me. He said, before Abraham was, watch him, I am. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. That's funny language, ain't it? For me to say, Brother Darty, before your daddy existed, I am. That wouldn't even be plain language, would it? What am I saying to you? I'm saying before your daddy existed, I existed. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And listen, when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush, what did he say? Moses said, who do I tell the children of Israel that's coming down to deliver the people? He said, tell them I am. The same Lord Jesus was there speaking from that burning bush, that seed, Christ. Not another seed, not the natural genealogies of man, but the gene of faith that each one of those men had in God. Abraham is called the father of faith. The Bible said Eve's the mother of all living. But it don't say Adam is the daddy of all living, because he wasn't, because there was a Cain come in there, wouldn't he? But you know what the Bible says? The Bible said Abraham, who is the father of us all. The Bible said Abraham's the father of us all. Abraham's not the father of all this natural world out here, is he? But he's the father of all the children of God, because it was his faith that there stood a man that God would make a promise to and say, Abraham, I've already made my promise and here it is to you. And Abraham say, I believe you. And God says, right there it is. You believe me with all the impossibles. You remember he told him when he was 75 years old, said, you'll have a child by Sarah. Sure, there was a lot of doubt in the way and a lot of problems and heartaches and all. But Abraham didn't doubt, the Bible said. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And you know what he done by being that? He became the father of the faith. What was that, though? Was that the man Abraham that become the father of faith, or what was it? No, it was the seed that was in his heart. As I said the other day, what caused Moses to stand there that could have been the next Pharaoh to take over and been the army, had the armies of Egypt at his hand, but yet the Bible said he's seen the reproach of Christ. He's seen that there was something there in those people that was his people, and that God was with those people. And he saw the reproach, the Scripture says, of Christ, and counted greater riches than all Egypt, and forsook Egypt, and went down and joined himself to a bunch of mud daubers. Why? Because he saw Christ, the Scripture says. Now we see here that it's not the seed of the natural genealogies, but what seed was it? But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ means the anointed one. It's a person anointed with the word, with the Holy Spirit. Look at David standing there. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart. That's what David said about it. He said, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Abraham, when he got down there, he lied, didn't he, and give his wife away. When that king come out there and said, that little woman there, see, Abraham, Sarah was Abraham's sister. Natural sister, different father, same mother. Or whatever how it goes in there, it was his half-sister, I put it that way. It was his sister. And he said to Sarah, because back then, see, they married because there's a whole lot stronger genes and things in. You can't do it now, you'd have illiterate children. But Abraham married his own sister, Sarah. When she was walking down through there, he said, that king said, I want her for my wife. And Abraham got scared. He said, go on over there, Sarah, and become that man's wife. Now that looked like that Abraham doubted God, don't it? But you know what's written in the book of Hebrews about Abraham? It said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God that God could do what he believed he could do. See, that's the seed I'm talking about. Now, it's the same thing I'm talking about, been talking about in two or three services coming up to this scripture. Not even knowing it myself until I begin to preach on it and see it. But seeing the Old Testament as the alive word, seeing the New Testament as the alive word, seeing the seven church ages as the alive word, now what do we see it as? The one seed, singular. All of those people in the Old Testament was the seed of Abraham by faith. To prove that it was, when the rich man died, when Lazarus died and the rich man died, where does the Bible say Lazarus went to? You remember the story Jesus told? You remember the parable? The rich man died, lift up his eyes in hell. He looked over, where did he see Lazarus at? In the bosom of Abraham. You know what the bosom of Abraham is, don't you? I mean, right in here is your bosom, man. I mean, that's the part of you. It's down inside of you. It's you. Now, how could Abraham have been standing there, and here stood Isaac, and here stood Jacob, and here stood all the Old Testament was standing in Abraham. Now, that ain't even sensible, is it? Abraham didn't have a great big bosom sticking out there about 40 miles wide that all them people could exist in. It's the faith of Abraham, wouldn't it? Abraham's faith that he had, being that seed singular, prepared a place that in the Old Testament was called paradise. And when Jesus died, he went down and preached to the soldiers in prison and came back up. And when he did, he came back up and knocked on the doors of paradise. Listen to the tape back there that Brother Branham preached on the mighty conqueror. And look at the scriptures he used in there. Because when he went down and came back and stopped at that door and knocked on it, that was the bosom of Abraham that he is knocking on the door. That was the faith seed of Abraham that was there. And you know what the prophet said? When Jeremiah came out, he saw him as he preached him. Abraham said, come here, Sarah. He said, you remember the man we fed the calf to? He said, there he is. Ezekiel come up, looked over and said, what? He said, I see him as a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Each one of the prophets that was there in the bosom of Abraham saw Jesus as they had preached him. He was there in the Old Testament, wouldn't he? The alive seed of God, the Word of God at the hearts of the people. In the New Testament, you find Jesus Christ standing there. The seed, singular. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy. What? Just come on in. Receive the word. The seed planted, and the Spirit gave it life. And on the day of Pentecost, you see what? Staggering out of the upper room, 120 little old people. That was the seed of Abraham by faith. Walking down through their preaching, and 3,000 saved the first message that Peter preached. The seed of Abraham, which was Christ. The Christ. Now I want to just read you something and then we'll close. I won't read all these down through here because you read it when you get home if you want these. It's the faith of the Abraham, which is page 11 of what the Holy Ghost has given for. And read page 9 of Seed Not Our with a Shuck, where he talks about it's the faith that Abraham had. Read page 256 and 257 of the Hebrew book, and watch how he talks about the seed of that seed. See, not many seeds, but they were one seed in many members made manifest. All of what I want to read to you is just this. 151 through 150, I won't read all of it, but it's through 152, or 150 through 152 of the Church Age book. I just want you to see it, what he's talking about. Now watch the scriptures the prophet gives. And listen now to this, just like you'd listen to me as I'd be preaching, because this is what the prophet says about it. See how this works? He's talking about the thoughts of God now. God always had his thoughts for Adam. Adam as his thought, as yet unexpressed. The word hadn't come into being, see. He gives Psalms 139, if you want to read it in your Bible and follow along. Psalms 139, 15 and 16, now to show something. We'll give you a little idea of this, Brother Branham said. Now I'll read you the scripture out of what he's got here, if you want to follow along, read in your Bible. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. He's talking about making man now. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Now he's talking about the creation of man. Watch what he says about it. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, hadn't come in yet. See, Psalms 139:15-16. Listen now. And in thy book, in other words, the Bible. See, and in thy book were all my members written. David, Abraham, but now watch the next wording. Which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Bible was written for the foundation of the world. But look what he's saying. And in thy book, in the Bible, were all of my members written, which in continuance were fashioned. Adam saith, Enoch, Noah, Moses, Abraham, David, Isaac, Jacob. What? In continuance. You know what continuance is, don't you? One after another. God was going to put in His Bible about this seed singular, and what did He say? He said, in continuance was my members fashioned. Adam, Abel, Seth, coming down. The seed. The members of God, my substance. The Word. As the Bible was written, the Word became alive through those men's lives. That God had been His mind before the world ever begun. And in continuance did those members come. And then when it come down, it come into the New Testament. Peter, Paul, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Philip, what? Didn't start in the church age, what? Ephesus, Smyrna, what on this side? Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columbo, Luther, Wesley. In this our day. Is that what he's saying? In continuance did my seed come. One after the other. The seed Christ. One seed. You and I are the faith seed of Abraham tonight, or we're lost. We're lost if we're not the faith seed of Abraham. And the faith seed of Abraham, do you know what that is? That's a human being that can believe God. That's a human being that God has endowed him with the ability to believe God when the rest of the world can't believe. There's people out there in the world right now tonight that can't believe. They just can't believe God. But you and I, the Lord's blessed us with something. Watch him now. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. God, nobody knows anything about God. It's only what God reveals to us. There are secret things about God that we won't catch in this world. Just being a God would be sense enough to let us know that we can't understand Him. But we can understand what He wants us to. Then when He put it in the book, what did He put it in? Curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In other words, not being written. And in thy book, the Bible, were all of my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. That, as I said, was not written about Adam. Listen now. But it gives you the idea and knowledge that the thought was there in his mind. And that thought was eternal and had to be expressed. So when Adam was formed of the dust of the earth and his spiritual being created by God, then Adam became God's thought expressed. Or the seed. And those eternal thoughts were now manifested down through the centuries, Old Testament, New Testament, ages and all. Watch him now. We find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist, and each one of those were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed, and he became known as the Word. That is what he is and forever will be. Now it says that he hath chosen us in him. Jesus, in other words. Before the foundation of the world. That means we were right there with him in his mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from that. Then he starts talking about, he said, let me inject something right here to you. Your natural birth is based upon election. Now you tell me how come you turned out that say your mama was black-headed and your daddy was brown-headed and you're blonde-headed. Now you tell me what worked that out. You tell me why a black-headed person, two black-headed people can have a red-headed child. And then they check their lineage back somewhere and they find out that great-great-great-grandma or grandpa somewhere back in there was red-headed. And they look just like them. And we call that hereditary. Is that what we call it? Hereditary? You think God don't know all about this thing? You mean to tell me, Danny, that you married Joyce out of just chance one day? Don't tell me that. God knew all about it before the world ever begun. He knew you'd be right here tonight. If he didn't know that, he ain't God. There is no such thing as God if he don't know that. You mean, Lisa, do you think that you married Terrence just out of choice or somewhere that you happened to pick up a name out of a telephone book and wanted to marry somebody? And then you wound up sitting in a little old building here like this that you could have been in a great cathedral somewhere with a husband that made plenty of money and gave you all the things you wanted to do and let you lay and sleep in the morning. She ain't lazy. She just likes sleep in the morning. I don't blame her. I do too. But do you see the point? Your natural birth is an election. And then you read on what the prophet says about it, that how certain germs attaches itself to certain eggs to where that you could come into this world. How that in the breeding of cattle that you see there in the test tube, little wiggling calves running around. Just all in there, just millions of them running around. And it's not the first one that gets to the egg. It can be one way over at the back, come all the way up and drop into that egg. And there starts a little baby calf. The natural birth, our natural birth out here is a whole lot more of a mystery than the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. God just created one egg and one germ and just put it in the womb of Mary and that was it. But you think how you had to come to get here. My daddy was over 60 years old, my mother going through the change of life. The possibility of me getting here was almost zero. The natural birth. And Brother Branham said it was necessary that those men standing there in John 6 and 49 said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That's the scripture he's using, that he's talking about those men that come to Jesus. And they said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. We're the seed of Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. We believe Moses. We're Moses' disciples. Jesus said one time, he said, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me because Moses spoke of me. Every person in the Bible spoke of Jesus. And then you tell me how that you happened to come along here to one of these days that you happened to fall into a little old place like this to where you could come along and believe that a prophet of God had come in the last days and brought a message to a group of people and they could stand in the ridicule and the hatred and the mockery that goes with all of it to believe that there was, that God did love his people enough to send a word. And you think it was just by accident? God knew before the world ever begun. That makes you part of the word. That's what I'm talking about. That makes you part of the seed. You can believe it. The others can't. It ought to make you joyous in your heart to see it. That you could believe and they can't. We have pity for them that can't believe, but we can believe and they can't. But now listen, but to go on, these elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season, but these same elect are called by another name. Now listen, Romans 4 and 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all these seed, singular, Doesn't say seeds there either. It says singular. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. There's that scripture I was quoting one of them. Abraham's the father of us all. All what? All the faith seed. Not all natural man. Romans 9, 7 to 13. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, two babies is fixing to be born from a mother that's got twins. Going to have twins. And before they're ever born, watch what God says about it. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. See, of God, the seed. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. That's contrary to natural law in the Bible. The elder was to be the one that was to be the younger ones had to serve the elder. You know, like the oldest son. But here it says, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You mean God would write about two children before they're ever born? Two little babies now that's gooing and awing, you know, laying there in mama arms, that it could be written about them before they're ever born? That God would love one and hate the other? One of them was seed, but the other one wouldn't. One of them was God's word. The other one was a natural baby. How did God know that? By his foreknowledge. He knew what everything would be. Now watch, Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham, that's the scripture we just read, and to his seed were the promises made. He saith, not into seeds of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul put himself and all believers under that designation because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all. Then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it. For in Galatians 3, he identified the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of promise, and promise as having to do with election or the choosing of God. And that is exactly what we have been saying. These who are the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated, foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts. Listen, in plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. Back there when he wrote the word before the world ever, the foundation of the world, he knew you'd be right here tonight. And he could write in his word. And he could write there and say, this one will receive the word and come in. This one will be naturally married to this one and come to this, be the son of this man and woman. And they maybe won't believe, but yet they'll come right down and here she'll be married to this man or he'll be married to this woman, and they'll come right down and come right in and receive the word. That's what he said in plain language. That's exactly what God said back there in plain language in the writing of his word, wasn't it? In continuance was my members fashioned. Listen. Though not expressed until each came forth, see, not expressed, not made alive, in the designated decreed season, as each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus the bride is the literal spoken word seed. George, would you come? Now just think about it. The seed singular. That same thought brings us to the same place that we've been trying to come to by looking at the seals. As the Old Testament being the Word alive, as the New Testament being the Word alive, as the church ages being the alive Word. Then we're not an addition to the Bible, are we? We are the Word that was spoken in Revelations 2 and 3 of the seven church ages, made alive. We are the people that the ends of the earth have come upon, and we are the seed of Abraham by faith. Can you believe it? We are the children of God, and that makes us. Now, Terrence back there, he's my son. He's my seed. He's a reproduction of me because it was my seed. See? All right, then we are sons and daughters of a living God because we're the seed of God. The Word is planted in our hearts, and we believe it, and the Holy Spirit comes and makes it alive. Then we're the children of God. Sons and daughters of a living God. Then where are we tonight? Standing here, believing the Word. Let's stand together. Father, we've spoken about Thee. Now may You come and speak back. Bless each one of us in that speaking, in Jesus' name. Let's just sing a song. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. George, let's try number 25. We can just sing that one. It's hard sometimes for me to lead a song of any kind. I'd like to sing number 24, what a day that will be, but I doubt if I could ever find it. It ain't Joyce's playing, it's my leading. No problem with that. I just can't lead a song. So. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. There's where the seed was made possible, wasn't it? There's where all them Old Testament saints looked to Calvary. There's where all now look back to Calvary. That's where the faith seed of Abraham was hanging on a cross and then gave his life that you and I might live. That's what the new birth is, that we might live, but that Christ might live in us is what he wants to do. The seed. Believe the Word. Just believe the Word. Can you believe that there is a God? Can you children believe that there is a God? And that that one true and living God still lives today? Then thank God for being able to believe that. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Do you have a longing in your heart sometime? You ever been to the place that you had a longing in your heart? That you wanted to find something. You wasn't satisfied. Something was tugging at you. You didn't know what it was even. And about that time, somebody says, hey, do you know Jesus? There's what it is. Just believe that. It's not. I've never asked anyone to do anything to say they were a Christian, but just believe the Word. Just believe what God says about you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, if I'd done that, I'd have to do this right now. You don't have to do nothing. I'd have to quit this and I'd have to quit that. No. I tried that. I've told you about it here before. I tried that when I was Baptist. You can't get yourself saved that way. Just forget that and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I want to be saved. That's all you can say. You can't say nothing else. Ain't nothing good you can bring. You can't come up and say, well, I didn't do this, so I believe the Lord, you'll save me. No. What about Paul killing people? Ain't none of you ever done that. Paul killing people. God saved him. David had a man killed to get his wife away from him. God saved him. Abraham lied and gave his wife away. How many of you women would stand for that? Did your husband just give you away? You know, Sarah never said a word about that. There's not a record in the Bible that Sarah ever said a word to Abraham about that. She just went on and done what Abraham said. The Bible says she called him Lord. That's the seed of Abraham. Loving somebody enough to forgive them. I'm sure Abraham told her, said, "I'm sorry, Sarah. You know I was fighting for my life." Sarah probably said, "Yeah, I know." But she loved him. And that's the same love, even that. See, that's just a filial. There's got to be an agapo for Jesus Christ. That I love him tonight if he wants to cast me into hell. If he never speaks to me again, if he never healed me and I die of some affliction, I still love him. Can you love him that way? If you can love him that way, then there's love in your heart. Can you love your brothers and sisters that hate you? Can you? Can you call their name in prayer? Say, "Lord, help them. I love them." Then you know you got love in your heart. If you can't do that, then the altar's open. You need something else. The Bible says, "If I can't love my brother who I have seen, how can I love God that I have not seen?" Then we can love one another, can't we? You just remember, pray for me and I pray for you. Just pray one for another that the Lord would guide us. You pray for us this week while we're up at Brother Woodby's, because we'll need your prayers. Going and coming, traveling on the highways and things. The last time I went up there, there was about 7 inches of snow on the ground on parks and places going up through there. I hope there ain't none this time, but you never know. We wouldn't have known the other day we'd have had about 7 or 8 inches of snow on the ground. If anybody told me we'd had this late in the year, I'd say, "No, I don't think so." But about that time, it just breaks loose. Well, see, you just pray for me, because Satan would like to keep me from going, but those people up there praying saying, "Come." Brother Woodby called me this afternoon. I said, "Brother Woodby, I don't want to come." See, Brother Hantus and his family is going to be up there next weekend. Stay a few days with them. And I told him, I said, "That's too much on your wife for to come in like that, you know, and us be there Wednesday and Thursday." He said, "Come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday," and stay, and said, "Just preach right on through till Saturday." I said, "Uh-uh." But I am going preaching Wednesday night and Thursday night, Lord willing. So you pray for us, yeah. Pray the Lord to be with us and guide us. Anything to be said before we dismiss? If not, Father, thank you for your word, your understanding. Guide each one of our hearts and our lives in you. Bless us as we dismiss from one another. Bless the people. Take care of them on the highways. Supply their necessary needs. Those that could not be here tonight, we pray that you would be with them. Comfort them, guide them. Those that are sick, Lord, especially Violet, we ask you that you'd reach down and touch her. Remove the hindrance from her that would cause her not to walk forth healed and made whole. We commit it all unto thee, believing thy word that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for the promises. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Take the name.